Yeah, there you go, Mitch. Command and control, Flash the One. On a Cowbell Friday, ladies and gentlemen, gather around the transistor and press the air. Bang that thing if you got it, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday, a Cowbell Friday. We need more cowbell, and we need to put on the Jordache jeans, baby, and brush back that feathered hair. Welcome to the weekend, Douglas.
It's not good. It's not good. My wife is 14 and 2. Just, I mean,
she lost two.
Just have a better bracket than your wife.
Oh, man, I have jacked up this morning. Welcome, Basinonians. The Doug and Wolf Show, Savages in the Morning, broadcasting high atop the bell tower that is the Auction Community Studios. How's your bracket? It's the thing you say when you don't know what to say. Not Fushaw, ladies and gentlemen, but how's your bracket? You want a
piece of my heart? My bracket is based on the fact that Oney is one of the best players in the Ivy League, and you score only 5 points. You're averaging 18, and you score only 5 points.
You know,
what are
one
you
of the,
doing?
One of the great things about it right now, Basinonians, maybe you're walking around your complex, right? Maybe you don't know everybody at work, right? Maybe you feel like you should know somebody, right? You've seen them for years. And maybe you should know their name, and you don't. And maybe you just, honestly, it's great because when you find yourself in the break room or the snack room or whatever you want to call it, right? And it's just you and this person where you've seen this person for 5 or 6 years, right? You say, hey, how's your bracket? It's such an icebreaker, is it not, my brothers? It's just a great thing to say. How's your bracket? Because everybody at the office, of course, has got a bracket for the most part.
I realize that I am off the deep end for college basketball. I realize that I'm not normal. But
sick, man.
One of the things that I really struggle with and I don't understand is when the answer to that question of how is your bracket and people don't remember. I don't understand how you fill out the bracket, don't remember the teams you picked, and then don't know how they did.
Yeah.
That's flabbergasting to me.
Well, I would say there are some people, or honestly, they're not college basketball nuts, Douglas, okay, that they still fill out a bracket. That's the one thing about it. You can always say, how's your bracket? Even if they don't know, you can still say that. Oh, you know, how's your bracket? At least you're being friendly that way.
The one thing that's easy for me, though, is the fact that since I know all of your picks because of KenPom and BPI,
yeah, right,
that I know that you and I are actually, in a sense, the same. I say in a sense because I'm actually 12-6. I lost to Sweet 16 teams.
All right.
So I'm 12-6. You're 12-4.
Okay, there we go.
And I know that sounds weird to people. Wait, there's 16 games. How are you 12-6? Because right. I lost Yale in the Sweet 16, and I lost Nevada in the Sweet 16.
I see.
So I'm 12-6.
That's why you're saying it. I get
Maloney,
it.
Are you in the bracket boss competition?
No, I am. No.
Boy, that's convenient.
Yeah, why not?
You didn't fill out a bracket. So,
no,
honestly.
I did, and I've only lost one game.
Oh. What?
But I didn't fill out the bracket for bracket boss. I'm not in it. I was actually in charge
dumb.
Of getting everybody's bracket.
Okay, but you filled out a bracket, of course.
Guys.
Yes.
They're protecting us from you.
Definitely.
And
well,
you lost one game.
What was the game that you lost?
I lost See, I don't remember.
How do you not remember? How do you not remember?
Oh. Marquette. I picked Marquette.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, you picked Marquette? How right. long have you listened to the show? What are you doing there?
What a failure of BPI, I have
told you, Maloney, we talk after every show. Every show I say something like, did you see Ja? She goes, okay, fine. I didn't pay attention to
yes.
Ja.
Yes. What a failure of BPI.
You went against Ja, Maloney.
And it paid.
Yes.
That was really loud in my ear.
Suddenly your mic's working, so that's a good thing.
So what is going on? Anything else this weekend? Anything going on this weekend that you're looking forward to, Basinon?
I know Jennifer and the girls are doing something, but I said I'm not involved. It's the tournament.
Jennifer and the girls are doing something?
They're doing something.
Yeah, right, because it's tournament weekend, of course,
I'm
right?
not doing anything.
This is always, it's always one of those bittersweet moments because, yeah, this is my favorite weekend of the tournament, the first weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
This
is it, right? This is Cinderella! Time to go dance, right? And will you declare yourself? This is my favorite weekend, but it is very sweet as well, ladies and gentlemen, because this is the weekend, Douglas, that we get to take 350 inner city kids.
Oh, you're doing kids. This
weekend? This is it. Up to Williams, Arizona, ladies and gentlemen, at Lost Canyon Camp. We take these kids that are working hard, these kids that are actually trying to be educated and to do well at school, and they're working hard and they're trying to respect people, right? We're taking these kids up to this awesome camp that Jerry Colangelo actually was involved in trying to actually get the thing built up there in Williams, Arizona, called the Lost Canyon Camp. It's a young life camp, and it is absolutely five-star camp for these kids. We're taking them up there in Basinoni, and some of these kids, man, some of these kids have never been out of Phoenix. Some of these kids have never seen a ponderosa pine. They stand in front of this ponderosa pine and put their hands on it, and you know the bark of a ponderosa pine, right, my brothers? Oh, my goodness, it will blow your mind. The look on their faces when they put their hands on this massive tree with this bark that is just impossible to describe. It's one of my favorite weekends of the year. Yep. That's this weekend. The MVP Foundation, ladies and gentlemen, very, very proud to be part of the board taking these kids up, just trying to show them a light, just a light at the end of the tunnel.
What's so cool about this is year 13 of the show. And I would say the first 8 years, you never even want to talk about it. And like every year you get a little more open about talking about that. That's cool.
Yeah. You know, just awareness, trying to actually increase the awareness of what it is that these kids need.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm pretty proud of it,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, good story, Will.
And now, it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five.
All right, break it,
Vinny. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories.
You're dragging, Vinny.
Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Good morning, Vince.
Number five
is what's going on. True TV. I have no idea where True TV is. It's in the 240s or 250s on DirecTV, if you're wondering. But I already have it set to record. ASU versus Buffalo.
Yeah, I have so much love, and I enjoyed those years so much and felt, you know, so proud of what Nate's doing. So it's going to be a little surreal. You know, I haven't had a chance to allow that to register. I was just fighting for my life to get this win.
246, if you're scoring at home, I believe, True TV.
Wow!
Yes, 246.
I'm embarrassed. Who are you?
What are you talking about?
Are you a big Practical Jokers fan or something?
No.
I am.
Number four.
Oh, my gosh, what happened? Nothing wrong with losing to Tampa Bay, but you got to beat the Panthers. Coyotes lose 4-2. Colorado wins at Dallas. So now there's a tie in the last playoff spot. Luckily, because Dallas is the one that lost to Colorado, there's no advancement. So Coyotes 4 points out the number one wild card spot, but they're tied for the last wild card spot, and they're only a point up on the Minnesota Wild.
How many days did they have off?
Yeah, I told you.
No. How many? Next.
Yeah, exactly.
Number three
this morning, Arizona Cardinals make the first move of round two of free agency after the original spell is off, and it's a good one.
Darius Filon, is that who you're talking about?
I am talking about Darius Filon.
I can tell you, yeah, this just continues. The free agent frenzy is over. But, man, I am really, really happy what the Arizona Cardinals have done.
Number two,
Suns a loser. Is that going to shock you? But the question is, are they tanking?
I can't say that can't remember a game that we can say we didn't try and we didn't compete. So, but competing is not good enough. We have to play well, too. We have to play better.
The Pistons had 19 offensive rebounds. 19. In the NBA. Enough said.
I think they were thinking about one thing as an organization.
He make our job easy. Once our men take their eyes off us, we just got to find that open spot, and he see us, and we make the defense pay.
Who's that? That's Shaq Buchanan. He is talking about
number one.
Ja! Drops everybody's jaw yesterday. He went off. And are the Suns tanking for either of them? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Everybody is talking about it. For only the ninth time since the NCAA started paying attention, somebody went for a triple-double, and it was Ja.
The stat, 16 assists. Obviously, I can't get an assist without them making the shots, and I just feel like I have great players around me, and they made me look better.
Boy, I had two thoughts on this, Basinonians. Number one thought was, Mad Doug Lease was right. Oh, my goodness. That was the number one thought, and it was very unsettling, of course, in the Wolfley compound to say that, but it was so true. Man, number one, Doug Lease was right about Ja, and number two, this kid looks different than everybody else on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
He moves differently than everybody else on the floor. What is that?
It got used a lot last year, and it's okay to have a problem with the phrase generational talent, because I still put that tag on DeAndre Ayton. It doesn't mean he's a generational mind, but that is a generational talent.
Yes.
But when you watch Ja and Zion, the thing, even two totally different players, the thing that just jumps off the page at you is their love of the game and the love of their teammates. But they still understand, I've got to give everything I have. You know, I mean, it is so palpable to see the way they care about the game, the way they play the way the game means so much to them. So not only are they the best players on the court almost every time, and in college, every time each of them has stepped on a court, I don't know if a lot of you know this, they were AAU teammates. So they were both raising the level of each other.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. I was upset. I really appreciate it. I got a lot of tweets yesterday. Wow, Doug, it was my first time seeing Ja. Wow, Ja. And I appreciate that.
Right.
The problem for me is I was the exact opposite. Like, no, Ja. Keep this on the down low.
Yes.
I don't want anybody to know about this.
NBA people are all over Ja.
They are now.
They were all over him before. Scouts, I'm talking about. General managers, right? I was stunned. I've seen clips of this kid, of course, right? Watching SportsCenter, whatever it may be. I've seen the clips. But there's nothing like watching a kid compete within the context of a game. And I'm sitting there watching him compete. And again, he moves differently. He's like a glitch. He's like a glitch. In fact, you know what? In the Wolfley compound, that's what we're going to call him. We're going to call him a glitch. The glitch. His vision is extraordinary, as well as his passing skills, otherworldly. I was absolutely dumbfounded. This guy, the glitch, took 9 shots and dominated the game. Dominated the game for Murray State. And he only took 9 shots.
It's a fantastic stat by you, because the reason why a lot of people were so interested in this game was to see his matchup with Howard, the really good guard from Marquette. Howard was 9 of 27 in the game. So he takes 27 shots and has about half the impact that Morant did. And Morant was only 5 of 9, 5 free throws.
17 points, of course, 11 boards, and 16 assists for Ja. He dominated the game, and he took 9 shots. Just watching him again, the athleticism.
And if you want to learn the backstories about Ja, and this is why, if you're new to the Ja train, and you're a Suns fan and you're excited about this, because really what it does, if you're a Suns fan, is the worst 3 teams in the NBA have equal opportunity at the number 1 pick, but then the remaining 2 teams out of the bottom 3 have equal opportunity at the number 2 pick. So as long as you're still in that bottom 3, the worst thing is to be in the bottom 3 and then end up 3rd.
Yes.
Because,
can you imagine?
No, I can't. But Coyotes fans know that very well. Remember in the Eichel McDonald?
Oh, yeah.
McDavid Eichel draft, they were the second worst team – in hockey and ended up getting third.
What a bag over the head kick to the cradle that would be.
And that's, I mean, that's staring the Suns in the face. And of course, with it being rigged,
Zion, you know, Zion
to the Knicks. And then you turn around and the rest of the owners say, well, we don't want Robert to get his way. So then the Suns finish third would be terrible. But the story about Ja that will blow you away, and I mean, this has nothing to do with basketball. It has anything to do with the young man himself, is the head coach at Murray State is at a basketball tournament recruiting and paying attention to other kids.
Yeah.
And at this tournament, at this high school, there's a back gym. And he hears the ball bouncing in the back gym, and just by being a guy of, hey, I should always check out everything, he sees Ja working out kind of by himself and caring enough about the game to get better. So the Murray State coach, who at the time is an assistant, he's paying attention to Ja, starts recruiting him then. And Ja was under-recruited. It wasn't until very, very late in the recruiting train people started to realize how good he was. And then the big schools came in, and he stuck with Murray State because he was impressed with how they recruited him from the beginning. He wanted to show loyalty to them even after the big schools came a-calling. And when you see the scandals that are going across college basketball,
man,
I'm not assuming or accusing anybody of doing anything illegal in the recruitment of Ja, but it's hard to believe nobody tried to do something fishy to get Ja, and yet he says Murray State was there with me from the beginning, so I'm there with them from the beginning.
So I'm watching the game, right, and I'm watching Ja, and I am absolutely like, stop it! Who is this kid, right? Watching him play, watching him move around. You want to talk about Matrix.
The athleticism and the vision.
The vision is incredible. The creativity, the imagination is incredible. What a savant. And as I'm sitting here watching this thing, right, I'm thinking to myself, man, I'd sit down Kelly Oubre too. And then I thought, wait a minute. I'm kind of joking, ladies and gentlemen, but did they actually sit him down? That they announced they were sitting down Kelly Oubre Jr. before the Ja game? I think they did, right?
Yes, they did.
They did announce that before Ja went off.
I don't want to say specifically the story, because it was told in confidence, or it was a discussion I have had with somebody with the Suns, and we were just talking basketball, and they threw out the name Ja. We weren't even talking draft. They know all about Ja.
Well, of course.
They're ready. They are ready.
Thank you.
And Ja is, I mean, he's all that. And then, of course, just the things he says. I mean, hey, you just got the ninth triple-double in the history of the tournament that we know of, because of the fact that we didn't keep track of triple-doubles until 87.
I just try to come out and give it all I could tonight and just try to do whatever I could to get my team a win. And I had to help bigs on the boards, and obviously I wouldn't be able to get the triple doubles without my teammates making shots. So the credit for this game goes to them.
Incredible.
I know.
Humility is a wonderful master, is it not, my young Kronk brothers? Humility. There's nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, he's sitting there, he's praising his teammates. What an awesome mindset to have. Humility is a wonderful thing because it allows you to look at yourself and see the flaws and where you need to get better. You think Ja knows where he needs to get better? Does he challenge himself in the gym to your story?
Yeah.
Yes. This kid, I'm on that train. I am on that train. Let's go, Ja.
Myron Medcalf is an ESPN NBA and college basketball reporter.
He's this rare combination of size and athleticism, and he's also got that, you know, that swagger to him as well. You know, like he was looking at Marquette and Marcus Howard and, you know, like, bring it on, you know, and he accepted the challenge, and he's got a little arrogance to him, and I think that's good. But he also is patient enough to make the right plays. He's going to be special, man. I don't know exactly what happens at the next level, but in terms of the NBA-ready guys I've seen, it's him and Zion.
I know the athleticism is incredible. The athleticism that I saw last night, the glitch, moving differently than everybody else, but it's his brain that separates him, I'm telling you. Sees the floor in three dimensions from every angle. Or so it seems.
He's arrogant in the sense of, I know I can beat you, but he doesn't have that arrogance of I can do it without my teammates. That's the beauty.
Did you see the one play where the guy, he was inbounding the ball and Ja was moving towards the top of the key like this and he put his hand up and then spun
Went
right back for the layup? Did you see? That is a special brain, man.
It's nice to have you on board. Coming up next from the Octave Community Studios, the Cardinals made another move in free agency, so are
Doug
we happy?
Was... Right.
So are we happy with what they've done so far? I don't know if their new guy's a jaw dropper or not. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Cardinals with Doug and Wolf. We've got a lot of jaw to talk about today. Bobby Hurley, ASU, Buffalo. I swear it was Wednesday, and I owe a recantation, that I read on ESPN that ASU was on True TV coming up on Friday. And then a lot of you were nice enough to tweet me and say, no, it's on TNT. And I looked it up on a CBS website, and you were right. So it's on TNT today. We will have it here as well. And with the game being at 1 o'clock, it would probably be a lot easier to do one of two things. Try to head out to be a part of Bickley and Murata and Burns and Gambo show today live at the Marlies in Chandler so you can see it. Watch the first round of the NCAA tournament thanks to Santan Ford and Schwartz Laser Eye Center. We'll also have tickets and prizes to give away, and we'll be broadcasting the game. So Kyle and Tim will have it for you at 1 o'clock here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. And you can find out all the details of that at arizonasports.com. So we'll be getting into that in a little bit. But there is some pretty good free agency news for the Arizona Cardinals. I don't want to be Rex Ryan, but I will say you won round two. That's a really nice round two of free agency signing, getting Filon.
What are you saying, Darius Filon? You love that right there. I just overall, Basin Odeans, I have to tell you right now, I think the Arizona Cardinals got six or seven guys that are going to be starters for them going forward. Six or seven guys in free agency that I think are above average. Six or seven guys. Now, they didn't have a huge splash signing. I guess maybe you could look at Jordan Hicks, Paulie, and you could say, you know, Jordan Hicks may have been that guy, $20 million guaranteed. But, man, I look at what they have done. Robert Alford, the talent opposite of Patrick Peterson, and that's all I'm going on, the talent, you haters that are out there with Pro Football Focus and what he did last year, and then just ignore the five previous years to that, of course, right? He's the most talented corner opposite of Patrick Peterson that Patrick has ever had. Since he showed up here.
And he dealt with a high ankle sprain. Don't forget that. He was dealing with that ankle sprain pretty much the entirety of
Robert
the year.
Robert Alford, man. Huge signing right there. And then Terrell Suggs, of course, Jordan Hicks, J.R. Sweezy, Darius Filon. This is a guy with some of the other talent that they have around him on the defensive side of the ball. I am greatly encouraged that this defense is going to be good again.
And I think, you know, for me, I hope nobody thinks I'm trying to sell you that the free agent signings that they've made put them past the Rams, put them past the Seahawks, and it's still very debatable if it even puts them past the 49ers if the 49ers are healthy. But I do look at the overwhelming number of positions of need this team had at the new league year. And now, how many positions of need they have at this point? I'm going to go with wide receiver. I mean, you can get better at every position, but now you've addressed O-line, you've addressed D-line, you've addressed the second corner, and you've addressed linebacker. Yeah, that pretty well covers everything except wide receiver, and you're going into a draft, as I keep saying, it's got either great wide receivers or the 85 Bears defense. That's what you can get out of this draft.
Yeah, and that was why I was going to bring up exactly what you just said right there. And basically, it allows Steve Keim to go into this draft, and he can shop for the best player in a lot of cases. Now, is it always that? Is it always strictly 100% best player? No, you're still going to have your needs, and you're going to have your wants. But every major box has been checked except the receiver room. Kevin White is on a deal where if he doesn't make the team, they owe him only like $400,000 reportedly. Mm-hmm. So they're not all in on Kevin White. He's only played 14 games in 4 years. But Remember, Cliff Kingsbury has some intel on a Kevin White. He's seen him firsthand. He knows Dana Holgorsen very well, and so he believes in the talent of a Kevin White. Now, do they need to do a lot more in that room? Yes. Is that first pick of the second round a likely target spot? Will a lot of these guys maybe even fall into the third round, considering the defensive talent and the depth of receiver? I think, yeah, you can get some quality guys in the third round as well if you're the Cardinals when it comes to receiver. But otherwise, you know, you look at a lot of these guys, and a lot of guys they sign are guys they're familiar with, coaches on the staff have worked with in the past. So to them, it's not a gamble as much as maybe some other guys typically.
You know, coming into this roster season, that's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the off season; it's the roster season now in the National Football League, and that includes the entire off season where you're putting together your roster. And just looking at it, what was the number one thing they needed to do, in my opinion, based on earnings? They needed to fix the offensive line. They needed to fix the offensive line. Now, this offensive line is going to have to come together right now, and I'm not saying it's the best offensive line in the league. I'm not saying it's nowhere even close. Are you kidding me? We'll put them even below average right now and make them prove it. Is there anything wrong with that, ladies and gentlemen? Make them go out and prove it. But boy, do I like what Steve Keim has done. They acquired two starting offensive linemen in an attempt to fix the offensive line room. Two quality offensive linemen. If not Pro Bowlers, right? J.R. Sweezy, I love what I'm hearing from the analysts up there in Seattle about J.R. Sweezy. Everything that we want to know about J.R. Sweezy, these guys have been around and they understand. That offensive line up there was different when J.R. Sweezy was gone and not in Seattle, right? Went away for a couple of years and came back last season. That offensive line was different with J.R. Sweezy up there because he's a brawler. This is a guy that will put on the flat boots and scrape up the knuckles. And then Marcus Gilbert as well. Two people that I love and respect greatly, Max Starks and my older brother Craig, that have been around Marcus Gilbert, swear by this guy. That means a lot to me. They got starters. They got starters on the offensive line, and you know what? You went ahead and you fixed 40% of that offensive line. This is going to be interesting.
Alert, alert! We have a new mock draft. I repeat, we have a new mock draft.
Why does this happen every time I open my mouth?
The last person, this is probably for
I'm
Paul.
Looking at you, Mitch.
The last person that had no Kyler Murray at number one has now changed. Lance Zierlein was the last guy with a mock draft that had somebody other than Kyler Murray. Lance Zierlein mock draft 2.0 just came out. Kyler Murray number one.
There we go.
The last guy.
He actually wanted to be right. Is that what you're saying?
I still don't like it.
Lance Zierlein. Is somebody get Lance on? Let's talk to him. Why was he holding out? Why was he holding out about Kyler Murray right now?
What's crazy is, though, Lance Zierlein is the only guy that has a mock draft that doesn't have the Giants taking a quarterback at number six. He has DK Metcalf all the way up to number six.
Wow.
To replace Odell Beckham Jr.
Boy, be careful on that one. I love DK Metcalf. I absolutely just this guy. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me?
You know, I love SEC
players. There are human
players,
beings like this.
But I got to tell you, there's a lot of games where DK, with all that strength, all that size, is just not there.
Yeah.
And
That's what I'm saying. Be careful.
Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast. It's brought to you this week by Kinetico. Coming up next, they said it wasn't about the money. But what did Goldie's extension actually tell us? Sounds like the Cardinals or the Diamondbacks could have afforded what the Cardinals paid him. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I believe this is the year that we're going to win the Super Bowl.
Goldschmidt is a Cardinal, and now he's going to remain so for five more years following this year. You'll hear it reported that he's signing a five-year, $130 million contract. That's true, but it is a contract extension. So therefore, his old famous contract that he signed a long time ago was still in effect for 2019. And now he gets 5 years on top of that deal. So he is signed through 2024.
I see.
As a member of the St. Louis Cardinals, $130 million for him. And as soon as I saw that contract, I thought of two things. Number one, in the explosion of salaries of the three that we all know, Machado, then Harper, and now Mike Trout, you have to say it's very, very affordable.
No doubt.
What the St. Louis Cardinals got him for. I was shocked. We all know Paul Goldschmidt is the type of person that loves stability. I want to know where I'm going to live, and I just want to focus on my family, my faith, and baseball, and be done with it. And that's who Paul Goldschmidt is.
Yep.
But I was a little surprised that it was already. Because I did think he was kind of going to be, let me spend some time playing baseball in St. Louis. He's the type of guy that would say, I want to focus on the season, so I don't want to talk extension after opening day. But I also thought, let's open it up at the All-Star break. Let me fall in love with St. Louis. The fact that he has played zero home games at Busch Stadium and is already signing a five-year extension, it's almost like that's even more Goldie than Goldie.
There were two thoughts that I had on this, Basinonians. Number one, he could have gotten a lot more on the open market. I believe, especially because I think Paul Goldschmidt's going to have an awesome year. I think he's going to rip it up there in St. Louis. Now, we'll see, right? Mm-hmm. The proof is in the pudding, so to speak. But I think he could have gotten a lot more on the open market, especially with the salaries that are starting to come down here, right? His last big hurrah. This is it for the most part right here for Paul Goldschmidt. That was number one. And number two was, man, I wonder if the Diamondbacks could have afforded something like that. That was number two.
I believe they totally could afford it, and I'm going to play something for you in just a second to talk about that. But I also would want to say this to all, and I don't, you know, now that spring training's winding down, I don't know how many of you guys are still up at this hour, or because more of the spring training games are starting to be night games. But if you're driving into work and you're a minor league baseball player, you're a major league baseball player that's still young, get to know, this is going to sound crazy, know yourself. There are way too many players that hire their agent and make their agent their own boss versus understanding you are the employer. So agents will often fight like crazy to get you the most money, but you've got to know yourself. There are plenty of guys who go in the tank in a contract year. There are plenty of guys that you have to know you'll be a better player if you have stability.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys thrive in it, don't care, and they look at the Machado, they look at Bryce Harper and say, I want that and I embrace that. But accept every single day our job in the media is to ask you, have you signed an extension? Every day it's are you any closer? Every fan wants to know, are you leaving or are you not? Look what's happening to Kevin Durant and the Golden State Warriors.
Yes.
When we all believe he's leaving and you're actually affecting that team's one loss record who nobody thought it could be affected. You've got to know yourself and accept the fact you might be better with structure and understanding exactly where you're going.
Boy, that is,
and Goldie is clearly like that.
Ancient Chinese warrior philosopher Sun Tzu, Basinonians, right? The art of war. Know your enemy and know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting right there, right?
Is an extra $20 billion worth a loss of 40 points on the batting average? Because you that's not who you are. You're better with stability and structure. That was point one. And then I want to play this for you. This really brings back something that Mike Hazen said to us quite a while ago. It was on February 20th is when he said it. And it was the first appearance of Mike Hazen for our Focus on the Front Office, which is our piece we do every Wednesday with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And it was right after Manny Machado signed. And the Machado signing kind of made me go, well, wait a minute. If the Padres can go out and get somebody of that magnitude,
Padres,
then why couldn't the Diamondbacks afford Paul Goldschmidt? And Mike Hazen said,
I've never contended that the decision on Paul was strictly financial, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a component of it. I've consistently said that could have been a component of it if, in fact, we couldn't end up extending him. But that has never been, you know, the only driving factor in the trade that we made. I think when you look at a deal like that, you have to ask yourself, he's a great player. There's no doubt about it. Paul Goldschmidt's a great player. We love great players. You want to have a ton of great players. Are you one great player away from winning the World Series? We had Paul Goldschmidt last year. We didn't make the playoffs.
Was that you?
Yes.
That was you interviewing.
Yes.
When was that? Was that? Was I gone on vacation? Was I in Oahu, ladies and gentlemen?
Honestly, I think it was. It's listed right? in our sound file at February 20th. But I've been in the business long enough to have the ear that says that sounds like FanFest. Because yes. We did talk a lot at FanFest.
I was gone.
And
I missed that.
And when he said that, it was such a huge eye-opener to me of him basically saying, we had Paul Goldschmidt last year and the whole thing fell apart. We have to accept the fact that we are not winning the World Series as presently constructed. So what do we need to do? A lot of you are going to have a problem with it. I love Mike Hazen for that reason. I want a cold, calculated general manager that says, I'm only doing what it takes to win. Now, I admit the softy in me kind of wishes Ken Kendrick would have stepped in, you know, and said, you know what, Mike? I'm not going to judge wins and losses or your payroll by the Goldie contract. I'll wear that one. I'm going to go in and keep Paul Goldschmidt, and I'll wear it, and I'll never make you sell players off, make trades, or do anything payroll-wise as it relates to the Goldie contract.
The clouds are starting to clear based on that sound that you just played. Because
I've never contended that the decision on Paul was strictly financial.
Basinonians, I have never heard that cut. I never heard that cut from Mike Hazen. Because I was vacationing, of course, on Oahu, ladies and gentlemen. That's my first thought right there. But I came in this morning, I was confused. If the reports are accurate, and I have no reason to believe they're not accurate, why did Goldie tell the Diamondbacks any contract they negotiated would start at $200 million? Remember that? That's what John Gambadoro actually, Gambo, tweeted that out, correct?
Yes.
Why is that? So you're basically telling me he gave the St. Louis Cardinals a hometown discount, but he was gonna charge the Diamondbacks a $200 million deal? I don't understand that. I'm totally confused until you played that cut right there. Because Mike Hazen just said, I've never contended that it was just about the money.
He said it's a component.
It's a component of it. The fact that Paul Goldschmidt is not here anymore was not just because the Diamondbacks didn't feel like they could afford
it. I think they're looking at it and saying, we are not one superstar away, so why keep that superstar? And I think he's also looking at the way the new young gun of general managers look at things, and they look at things and say, you know what? We don't think as you get older, you're going to be worth the same in year 4 and 5 of this new contract. When you're 35 and 36 years old, if we're already seeing Fangraphs say you're not hitting the elevated velocity on the fastball, then what is it going to be like when you're 35 and 36 years old? And he won't say that. I don't want to put words in Mike Hazen's mouth, but there's also a little bit of, we felt you've had 2 Septembers where we needed you. And didn't come through in either of them.
See, this is the cold, hard reality of it right here. Why in the world would Goldie say it's going to cost you $200?
Because even though they made the playoffs in 2017, remember his September was awful.
Why would he say that? Maybe he was hurt. Because maybe it wasn't just about the money. That is, wow.
Now, granted, he was already a Cardinal when Mike Hazen said that. But
Mike Hazen's a pretty straightforward guy. It's one of the things I find really endearing about the guy.
Yeah, I know.
Plain speak, man.
I know Diamondback fans, it hurts. It hurts to hear that this morning, but at the same time, I don't want a soft GM. We got to make decisions, and we got to win, and we got to go. And I don't like it that Goldie's not here, but I support the reasons. Coming up next, Charlie Casserly, see?
Charlie.
He's done it again. There's another quarterback that he says is better than Kyler Murray.
We're going to sign a quarterback, see?
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.